You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. The Archduchess of the AM airwaves. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We have so much to get to. The hours fly by very fast here. I'm not going to waste any time. I want to continue playing these cuts from Senator and Doctor, as Jared points out, Rand Paul. He really, really destroyed George Stephanopoulos. And it was a beautiful thing because George Steffi wants him to admit that everything was on the level. And it will make George feel better. And you notice the irony in this is that nobody was made to acknowledge Trump as a legitimate president for 4 years because the Democrats are allowed to have an illegitimate president, but the Republicans are not. We need to not only smile and thank Joe Biden, but we need to usher in this unity with him. And we need to say that everything was fair and that we have no doubts about the integrity of this election, or else I don't know if it makes George Steffi feel bad or if it makes them annoyed, but nobody was asked out of the Democrats to say, you know, Eric Swalwell or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer, there was no evidence of Russian collusion. So can you guys kind of admit that Trump was just a duly elected president? Nope. Nobody was put on the record for that. So let's go through. So Rand Paul is explaining to George over and over again that he's not going to come out and say all Republicans are liars for wanting to question the results of the election. And Jared, I think we left off on cut three. We'll start that over from the beginning. This is Rand Paul with George Stephanopoulos.
Now, let me say, to be clear, I voted to certify the state electors because I think it would be wrong for Congress to overturn that. But at the same time, I'm not willing just to sit here and say, oh, everybody on the Republican side is a liar and there is no fraud. No, there were lots of problems and there were secretaries of state who illegally changed the law and that needs to be fixed. And I'm going to work hard to fix it. And I won't be cowed by people saying, oh, you're a liar. That's the problem with the media today is they say all Republicans are liars and everything we say is a lie. There are two sides to every story. Interview somebody on the other side, but don't insert yourself into the story to say we're all liars because we did some fraud in the election.
They're not.
Don't insert yourself into the story. And that is exactly what's happening. Otherwise, if he was a neutral party, he would ask the question and he would accept the answer and move on. But he can't because he has too much invested. He spent 4 years destroying his reputation to get Joe Biden into office. And now Rand Paul has the audacity to question that. By the way, if anyone wants to check out my column this week from the Boston Herald, it's still trending. But it was about that. It was about how the media, really, they just continuously trip over themselves to make Joe Biden happy. No one in the history of American politics owes the media more gratitude than Joe Biden. And yet, you watch as the days go on, Joe's going to get snappier and more upset if he gets anything resembling, I'm not going to say a tough question. I'm going to say anything that's not about milkshakes or his dog or, you know, his favorite books or, you know, how it feels to be in the Oval Office or maybe a question about his Irish heritage. Anything that's not in that realm, he's going to get snappy and he's going to be thin-skinned and he's going to treat them like he's always treated them, like crap. And that's what they deserve because they let him into the White House. They helped push him over the finish line. And George Stephanopoulos, that's where this frustration lies. It's like, we tried so hard to get this guy in and you're still not going to bow down to us and tell us that it was all on the level. Good for Rand Paul. All right, let's play cut four.
There are not two sides of the story.
This has been looked at in every single state.
No,
no, sure there are.
Certified
there are
in
two
every
sides to every
state.
Story. George, you're forgetting who you are. You're forgetting who you are as a journalist. If you think there's only one side, you're inserting yourself into the story to say, I'm a liar because I want to look at election fraud and I want to look at secretaries of state who illegally changed the voter laws without the permission of their state legislatures. That is incontrovertible. It happened. And you can't just sweep that under the rug and say, oh, nothing to see here. And everybody's a liar and you're a fool if you bring this up. You're inserting yourself into the story. A journalist would hear both sides, and there are two sides of this story.
No, of course he won't, though. He's not a journalist. Rand Paul knows that. And it's really amazing because it does make me think of Russiagate, because when that was happening, all of those people, all of those nuts who were saying, all roads lead to Putin. You can probably guess who I'm thinking of when I say that. All of those people were patriots. They were looking out for our democracy. They were holding our leaders accountable.
Speaking truth to power.
Thank you, Jared. Speaking truth to power. Now, any sort of dissent or any sort of questioning, you know what you are? You're a seditionist. You're a traitor. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're a tinfoil hat person. You're a nut job. You're a redneck. You're an idiot. Because that's what George Stephanopoulos decided. Because in his mind, there aren't two sides to this story. There's one truth. The state media thinks there is one truth. And people like Rand Paul, who disagree with that, are ruining what they're trying to create. Which is people who have no idea what's going on. Everyone only hears their side of it. And for people like George Stephanopoulos, that's a beautiful thing. Let's play cut five.
I'm standing by facts. There are not two sides to facts. I did not say that this was a perfect election. I said the results were certified. I said it was not stolen. It is
You're
a lie to say
people are
it
liars.
Not
You're
stolen.
Saying people are liars if they want to investigate what happened in the election. Should
That's
we
not
investigate
what I said.
The fact that tens of thousands of absentee ballots did not have addresses on them and normally were disqualified, but this time they were counted. Should we examine that?
And let's go to cut six.
I asked you a very simple question. Was the election stolen or not?
I think there was a great deal of evidence of fraud and changing of the election laws illegally, and I think a thorough investigation is warranted.
Senator Paul, thanks for your time this morning.
Sorry, George, that I couldn't give you the soundbite that you so desperately wanted. It's really, really pathetic. And the media is just embarrassing themselves at every step of the way. Speaking of now they're talking about impeachment. Mitt Romney thinks that this impeachment is a way to unify the country. In fact, we need impeachment to unify the country. This is Mitt Romney, cut eight.
Well, we're certainly going to have a trial. I wish that weren't necessary, but the president's conduct with regards to the call to Secretary of State Raffensperger in Georgia, as well as the incitation towards the insurrection that led to the attack on the Capitol, calls for a trial. And, you know, if we're going to have unity in our country, I think it's important to recognize the need for accountability, for truth and justice. So I think there will be a trial, and I hope it goes as quickly as possible, but that's up to the council on both sides.
He's pathetic. I mean, there's no other way to put it. That's pathetic. Even Democrats, sane Democrats in this country, say this is a waste of time. This is stupid.
So we haven't seen the full articles of impeachment yet. They're about to be delivered today.
Ooh, yes. I can't wait.
But there's one charge of one impeachment charge that we know for certain. It's just one charge this time. It's not like last time. He mentioned the call with Raffensperger and the incitement. Now, I'm curious, is that all tied into one larger, or is Mitt Romney just throwing extra stuff out there?
That's a good question. We'll try to get Mitt Romney on the show in the next segment. Now, that is a good question, Jared. It really is. And the Democrats, they're sticking with this. And then meanwhile, the media, and I know, guys, I know I harp on the media, but I can't get over, as Kayleigh McEnany once said, the lack of journalistic curiosity. Because it's not that they're bad at what they do. It's just they have no interest.
They are willfully negligent at what they do.
Exactly, because when they want to find out about Hunter Biden and the bagels that he's picking up, they're pretty good at that. And when they want to ask, listen to, so last week we had the question about Air Force One. Some real hard-hitting journalist asked Jen Psaki if Joe Biden was considering changing the color scheme on Air Force One. This is my favorite question that came out this weekend. This is George Condon, Cut 17.
The second one, this may sound trivial, but presidents and candidates have some events where they're fun for the candidate. The big crowd on the acceptance speech at the convention, the big crowd at the inauguration, big rallies. Because of COVID, this president has been denied all those. Has he ever been at all wistful about sort of missing the fun parts of being a candidate and the inauguration?
Wistful. I thought it would take at least a month for that word to make its way into a press conference. Has he ever felt wistful?
I'm pretty sure he's wistful a lot of the time now.
I'm going to go out into New York and interview some of the restaurant owners and say, hey, do you feel at all wistful that your lives have been destroyed? Do you think about like, I could have people in this restaurant right now, but I don't. The level of groveling, it's so pathetic that that's a real question he asks. And if you have to start your question in a press conference with this may sound trivial, that's a pretty good hint that you don't ask it. Because he doesn't just, guess what, George? It doesn't just sound trivial. It is trivial. Nobody cares. And honestly, the whole reason that Joe Biden was able to become president is because of this environment we're in. It's because he wasn't able to do the traditional stuff, like, I don't know, leave his basement. Does he feel wistful that he didn't get any questions from reporters? Probably not. Probably not. Guys, my friends at Eden Pure have done it again. And just for this week, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier, I'm holding it up now. The BOGO deal is back. That means buy one, get one. That's buy one Thunderstorm Air Purifier and get another one for free. It's been months and people still ask me if it really works. Jared gets this question all the time too. What do you tell them, Jared?
Absolutely, it works. And this past weekend and really the past 3 or 4 days has been really extreme dust and dander. And for people like me who have allergies, it's even inside. You know, it's still you get a little dry, you feel congested, it's not a good situation, and the thunderstorm takes care of that.
And it takes care of it in hours. One of our sales reps was in an Airbnb this week, and it kind of had a little funky smell to it. It was a little musty. She didn't really know what the smell was. So we gave her an air purifier, and the thunderstorm worked in hours. She was totally fine. The Eden Pure air purifier is so small you can hold it in your hand like I'm doing right now. It plugs right into the wall. That's why it was so easy to move. The best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which can really add up, and it's just a pain. It's more work, which of course saves you time and money. BOGO is back for 1 week. Maybe you have one and you know how well it works. You want another one. Now you can get one for your second floor or your basement. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACEBOGO. This deal ends on January 31st at midnight. That's going to be here before you know it. The thunderstorm sells fast, so don't delay. Shipping is free. Guys, when we get back, I'll take more of your calls at 844-500-4242. We also have more pressing questions from the press and from the American public. Like, what is Joe's favorite ice cream? Where this is on the record. This isn't what milkshake flavor did you order. This is for real favorite ice cream. We have the answer. And questions about the first feline in the White House. Oh, we're going to hit it all, guys, whether you like it or not. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Hello, New England. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Press Secretary Jen Psaki may be taking questions. Maybe we'll get some more questions about Joe Biden's wistfulness.
Some guy in a double mask is asking the questions right now. So
we'll keep you guys posted on that. But before we go to anything, today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for this week only. Buy one Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier and get one totally free. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACEBOGO. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's the worst anti-Trump Republican? Liz Cheney, Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney, or Ben Sasse?
I said Mitch McConnell in the first hour. I'm going to stick with it. I'm just so disappointed. Not to sound like Charlie Baker, but I'm very disappointed in him. So I'm going to say Mitch McConnell.
Turtle's polling at 10%, but Mitt Romney is still on the lead at 80%.
Yeah, and it's funny because these people all think, all these rhinos think that we're all going to go back to business as usual. And that's what they want. They want the swamp. They like all of that. They like wars. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but it's a way for them to make money. They like the status quo. And I don't think that the GOP understands just how fundamental Trump was to this movement. You know, he might not be back in 2024 running for president, but his message that he instilled into this huge party is not going anywhere. Much to Mitch McConnell's chagrin. Bruce, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Grace.
What's up?
Have you seen the bagel man, the bagel man, the bagel man?
Are you talking about Hunter Biden?
Oh, no. Of course I am. It's amazing. How, and besides that, why aren't we even able to be able to think on our own, Grace, without... We have to think like they do.
So, Bruce, let me cut you off there for just one sec because I do want to let people know about this bagel story. I don't want to gloss over it. Okay, this is big news. Matt Pfizer, he's a reporter for the Washington Post. He wrote, "En route back from church, Biden diverted motorcade so Hunter Biden could make a food run at Call Your Mother, arguably the best bagel shop in D.C." Hunter stood at the window several minutes for the takeout order as his dad and daughters waited in the car.
I always figured him for a powdered donut kind of guy.
Very good, very good. House Judiciary GOP retweeted it and said, "This is the most coverage Hunter Biden has ever received by the mainstream media. What a joke." It really is a joke. And if you're going to, you know, follow that storyline and figure out the bagel stop they're at least tell us what kind of bagels they got. We're talking everything bagels, salt bagels, onion bagels, raisin bagels. You got to follow up, Matt, because people need to know this stuff. And there was tons of stories like this. So Jen Psaki, who's the press secretary, she put it out to her Twitter and said, "I'll answer any questions the American people have." And two of those questions stuck out to me. Let's play cut 15 first.
First feline updates would be greatly appreciated. I'm also wondering about the cat, because the cat is going to dominate the internet whenever the cat is announced and wherever that cat is found.
Is the cat going to have...
mittens and a mask sitting in a chair?
Is the cat going to dominate the internet more than Hunter? That's my question. Because Hunter, if it weren't for Jack Dorsey, Hunter would have dominated Twitter for a couple days. But maybe this cat's a troublemaker, too. This is cut 16.
President Biden is a big ice cream fan. So does that giant freezer full of ice cream really exist? I have not found it, and I have worked here before. When I was in Wilmington before the president was inaugurated, I did ask him for my four-year-old niece, Soraya, who was very curious about what his favorite ice cream was, and his favorite ice cream was chocolate chip. So that is my update for all
Make
of you on that,
stop.
But I have not found the freezer yet.
Make the ice cream stuff stop, please.
Stop hating on Americana, Grace. That's just all Lunch Bucket Joe and Dr. B.
I can't take these ice cream questions anymore. You don't have to tell us what his favorite flavor is. I know because I've read full-blown articles about how Jenny's ice cream is making their own flavor for Joe. And it's chocolate chip with waffle pieces put into it. I don't need to know anything more. Tell us a little bit about all of the workers who are losing their jobs because the Keystone Pipeline is being shut down. That to me is, you know, I hate to prioritize one crucial thing over the other, but that to me is a little bit more important than Joe Biden's obsession, it's seeming like, with ice cream. The more they talk about it, the more I'm like, oh my God, this is getting a little bizarre. So those are the really important questions. Charlie, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hi, Grace. Great job.
Thank you.
Do you think that the Durham report will ever see the light of day?
That's a really good question, Charlie. I don't know. And honestly, I hate saying this, but it doesn't matter anymore because none of these people are going to, I'm not going to sit here and tell you like, oh yeah, you know, it's going to come out and then you'll see. These people are they're all part of the swamp. And I think that's one thing we've learned. There's a few things we've learned over the past couple of years, but one thing is the swamp is deep and it is strong. Good question, though, Charlie. I wonder that, too. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. 844-500-4242. Derek Hunter from Town Hall next. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us. A lot of news over the weekend. I thought maybe it would settle down a little bit now that we're in Joe Biden's America, but there's no shortage of stories. I'm very excited to welcome our next guest, Derek Hunter. You can find him on Twitter. And Derek, I might mess this up because it's a bit of a long handle. Reverend Dr. Jill Derek Hunter Biden?
It's close enough. It's just Derek A. Hunter on Twitter. The headlines, you can make whatever you want. But yes, I insist I got a degree in community college communications, and I demand to be called a doctor.
As you should. As you should. Derek is a writer for Town Hall and various publications. He does a great job. And Derek, the first thing I wanted to ask you about, I found this piece very interesting. You wrote, "Welcome to the Resistance," and you kind of broke down this obsession with following norms that the Democrats have had over the past 4 years, and how as Republicans, we should continue a lot of these norms they've set up. Can you go through some of these and maybe start with my favorite one, which is it didn't take long for Obama to start whining about everything and that Trump should do the exact same thing?
Oh, well, if you remember the last 4 years, everything was Donald Trump is upsetting these horrible norms as if we were on the set of Cheers. Norms, norms, norms. It's horrible. It's terrible. Look at what they've done. And all he did was tweet mean things. He never really tried to legislate or enact through executive action any of the things that had them clutching their pearls. But, okay, if we have to adhere to norms, it used to be that former presidents kind of faded away and allowed the new president to be president. Barack Obama didn't allow that to happen. He was constantly commenting on everything that Donald Trump did right from the get-go. So it would only be right and fair if Donald Trump did the right thing. He wouldn't want to upset the norms that the left had established. So it needs to be that Donald Trump claims credit for everything good that happens on Joe Biden's watch and claim he wasn't even in town that month if there's anything bad that happened. These are the norms that the Obama team established, and since violating these norms so upsets them to the point of impeachment, then we need to maintain them. We also note that within 19 minutes of Donald Trump taking the oath of office in 2016, there was a piece in the Washington Post saying that the push to impeach him had begun. So we need to get the push to impeach Joe Biden underway, and we'll find out a reason or rationale for it later on, although we already have a few.
Right. And another one that you mentioned is everything is racist. That's a new norm.
Well, that's racist to even say. Everything is racist. Donald Trump was, it's really kind of funny because this really found a home and metastasized into the media culture through Morning Joe. Morning Joe, Joe and Mika were friends with Donald Trump for years. Back when they were just dating and married to other people, they were big friends and fans of Donald Trump. Once he put that R after his name, they still elevated him, but they did it kind of because they thought he would be the easiest Democrat or Republican to beat. Once he won, suddenly his hair came off and revealed a hood, that it was a secret Klansman. Now, how was it that Donald Trump happened to be friends with these people for decades, all of these people in media, and nobody noticed that he was a horrible, horrible racist? Well, because it wasn't true. But they have been calling everything racist. I opposed Obamacare, not because I was racist, but because I used to do health policy. I know a thing or two about it, and I knew it was a bad idea, but I was called a racist for opposing it. So if everything is racist, then everything should be racist. And we should just throw that around. So instead of trying to engage in a discussion, and I know you've had conversations with liberals where they immediately go, "I can't refute that, so you're a racist." and they run away, take their ball and go home, we should return the favor. Simply treat the left the way they've treated the right. These are the norms that they've started. It would be wrong, and dare I say even racist, to not do that.
No, and I agree with you, Derek, and I've actually used that before. Recently, I had a cousin who's, you know, liberal, and she was telling me, oh, you know, Hamilton's on Disney Plus, and I said, oh, we can't watch that. It's racist. And she said, why? And why? I really like it. And I said, oh, Alexander Hamilton, just Google it. It's in the New York Post. It's racist, so we can't watch it anymore. So I do agree with you. We got to start using these techniques when they fit our narrative. And really, I just didn't want to watch it, period. Another question I have for you, Derek, is something that drives me crazy, is the leaking.
Also cultural appropriation, let's be honest.
Oh, there's
cultural if a school's dormitory serving Chinese food not made by somebody from Beijing is cultural appropriation and has like the Smith Collegeites up there running to demand justice, then everything like that that fits that narrative is racist. So and cultural appropriation. We've got to hold them to their own standards. They will hate it. They do hate it. But they created it. It's their bed. They got to lie in it.
Right. And revolutions eat their own, as we've often seen throughout history. Derek, my other question for you is about the leaking, because this has always driven me crazy since Donald Trump was president. There were so many leaks. And when there was this subject that I hoped there'd be a leak on when it might have benefited Donald Trump, it was dry as can be, not a leak to be seen. So you're saying that now that Joe Biden's in there, we should really make sure that any person in government should be leaking like a sieve.
They absolutely should. Look, there are 4,000 people who lost their jobs, and that's just not on the Keystone Pipeline. Those people are political appointees in government. They're being replaced by Biden appointees, but there are 4 million people who work in government who have access to all kinds of information. They cannot all be liberal Democrats. They will all be under scrutiny. Believe me, the Democrats, if the Obama administration was any indication, they will go to any length, including spying on Americans, to find out who is leaking. But we've learned that leaking is patriotic. I mean, look at Alexander Vindman. Look at that guy who wrote that anonymous book, now a CNN contributor. It is a heroic act, perhaps the most patriotic thing you could do outside of burning a flag at an abortion clinic. So you need to get these people out there so we know what's going on. Look, we're not going to get the truth of what's going on in the Biden administration from the media. They've already taken a nap. Glenn Kessler, the fact checker at the Washington Post, says they're not going to compile a database on Joe Biden's lies. In fact, he said that Joe Biden he expects him to be as honest as Barack Obama's administration was. And the only time Joe Biden tends to lie is when he goes off script. Which, from my reading, is that means when he's left to his own devices, he's full of it. But, you know, we always knew that about Joe. Still, he's not going to be held to any kind of standards by the press. So we have to have people on the inside telling conservative outlets. Not, you take it to the Washington Post, and they're going to go, this is not interesting. This makes Joe Biden look bad. You've got to take it to a conservative outlet. The truth has to be out there. It's patriotic, as far as my understanding of the last 4 years, and they've set, again, these norms, keeps going back to that word, so they must live by them.
And it's hard. It would be even more difficult for Joe Biden to lie when the questions he's getting are about, you know, ice cream flavors and, you know, oh, are you going to have a cat in the White House? If he lied about that, he'd be a psychopath. I mean, those are just basic questions.
Well, you got to remember, Joe Biden lied about his own life many, many times.
That's
his
true.
First wife was not killed by a drunk driver. He didn't get 3 college degrees. He didn't get a scholarship to law school. He didn't win awards in law school. You name it, Joe Biden has lied about it. So that he would put, you know, a bell on a dog's ears and call it a cat could be, it's something I wouldn't put past him. But then again, it could also be senility. You got to be on edge for both of those.
We need a Daniel Dale on the right to fact check some of these innocuous statements he says. Derek, I want to move on here to your other column, The Dangers of Leftist Groupthink, because you brought something up that I never thought about. You were talking about how a lot of times these ideas that get really put into the mainstream as far as the left's concerned start in the fringes of talk and people kind of laugh at them. But you said Democrats are fine with working incrementally when they have to. Explain to people how this whole idea idea of shutting down free speech has been talked about for a while. People just haven't been paying attention.
Well, look at what's been going on college campuses. We, as people who either went to college and graduated and escaped in a hot air balloon or didn't go to college, we looked at for years the protests, the outrage, the rallies, the sit-ins and everything, and said, well, wait till these kids get into the real world. Then the cold, dead fish of reality is going to smack them across the face. And they wrestled the cold, dead fish of reality away from the titans of industry and are now beating them to death with it. And it has spread from there that Ann Coulter speaking somewhere on a 500-acre campus is a threat to some kid sitting at home playing a video game in their dorm room is ridiculous. But they managed to cancel events based on that. It used to be just the fringe. Now they're not only, I mean, when's the last time you saw Ann Coulter on TV? Now they're trying to cancel TV that they disagree with. Fox News, The Washington Post, their media columnist, Margaret Sullivan, has a piece yesterday, I think it was, saying basically Fox News, if it won't get in line, it needs to be destroyed. Max Boot, another columnist for The Washington Post, said they need a fairness doctrine to go after Fox News. He didn't explain how something that applied back in the 80s to public airways would apply to a private cable company transmission of a television image, but that's beside the point. They don't have to think when they're on the left. These ideas that were once we need to shut down, and I bet you if you went back 20 years, 15, 10 years, looked at protest marches from International Answer and Code Pink, you would see signs at those things that are now becoming mainstream policy discussions on MSNBC and CNN. They start at the fringe and they work in. The left is very, very content. They've worked for 60 years to try to get something like Obamacare passed. They're content with that. Republicans worked for, 2 months? They held a vote on repeal, and they lost by one, and they kind of just said, yeah, moving on.
No, you're absolutely right. The left's better at the long game.
The left is very interested in the long con. They want not only the content of your pocket, they want your IRA, your 401k, the title to your car, the deed to your house. Republicans want your watch. And if they don't get your watch, they'll go, I already have a watch anyway, and move on. That's the difference between the right and the left. They are willing to take a five-yard gain and try and grind out on the ground, get 80 yards to get into the end zone, whereas Republicans, it's three Hail Mary passes, and if they don't connect, they punt.
Yeah, and Derek, I just want to say really quickly, you made a really good point with the whole fish and the college kids and beating them over the head with it. It would seem like if a lot of these companies, when all of this stuff first started to happen with snowflakes and safe spaces and kicking people off campuses, if they had just said, you know, too bad, you know, or we're not firing that person, we're sticking by that person, even when people had, you know, PR nightmares, he made a mistake, he's not getting fired. It could have really curbed this cancel culture, but now you're seeing with the Super Bowl that these companies are so afraid of these progressive nuts that they don't want to offend them. They're not even going to take out Super Bowl ads that they've taken out for the last 10 years because they're so afraid that their beer commercial might upset someone or make someone feel bad.
There's a beer commercial that's banned in South Africa right now with Gerard Butler that is saying that real beers don't need lime in them. And it is being banned for advancing gender stereotypes.
Oh,
because
my
they say
God.
The subtext is that real men don't need, you know, this is a real beer for real men. It all kind of started with Justine Sacco. Remember her? She's the anonymous Twitter girl who a few years ago tweeted, I'm going to South Africa. Yeah. I hope I don't get AIDS. No, I won't. I'm white. To like 200 followers that she all personally knew. And by the time she'd ended, landed, she was the biggest story on the planet. Her life had been ruined. And a sick part of our society said, I like that.
Yeah.
I got to have more. And a political movement said, that could be a very effective tool against our enemies. And they basically took the business model of Media Matters for America and institutionalized it. Now media outlets are going after other media outlets. They're everybody out there, if you become too famous, they'll try to dig up your junior high yearbook.
Right.
See what somebody wrote in there.
It's gross.
It's gone insane. And the only way to stop it is to really, sadly, hold them again to their same standards. Those are the two choices, victory or submission.
Thank you so much. We're talking to Derek Hunter from Town Hall. Another great, great interview. He has so many good pieces. That's Derek Hunter at Derek A. Hunter on Twitter. He writes some great stuff. If you've been thinking about getting away to the Follinsby Inn, please consider coming the weekend of February 19th. I'm announcing my first listener getaway, and I can't wait to enjoy a wonderful weekend with all of you that take advantage of this offer. So here's the deal, though. It's not just a weekend getaway and I'm going to be there. It's that you're going to get a deal if you choose this weekend. For just my listeners, you'll receive 10% off for that weekend. Besides enjoying a cocktail by the fire, we will also enjoy Dennis's famous homemade breakfast. My first deal for the Follinsby Inn sold out right away. Everyone knows how much I love the Follinsby Inn, located on pristine Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. Dennis put so much attention into the design of the 17 unique historic guest rooms. They're absolutely beautiful. My parents, after I went, I just kept talking about it day in and day out. My parents said, all right, we have to go now too, because you will not shut up about this. And they went, and guess what? They're going again. It's so beautiful. It's quintessential New England, and everything at breakfast is made from scratch. It's absolutely delicious. This time of year, you can take advantage of the inn snowshoes and discover the beautiful area. To reserve your room today, go to FollinsbyInn.com. Excellence is assured. FollinsbyInn.com, the best of the past. Don't forget, guys, it's the weekend of February 19th. They did sell out. They have not sold out yet, but there's a lot of rooms that are already taken, so this will sell out fast. Check that out soon. We will be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. We had Derek Hunter on in the last segment. I love talking to people who really follow this cultural strange time. I mean, it's just, it's bizarre. The cancel culture and the infighting of the Democrats, you cannot be progressive enough. All of it is just, it's very interesting to talk to someone who really delves into that. I do want to say that Biden had a change of heart recently. For a while when Trump was running, there was nothing Joe Biden wasn't going to be able to do. Similar to Barack Obama, when Barack said, I will stop the seas from rising and all that good stuff. Biden was kind of the same. He was going to be a superhero. And then this weekend, a video came out where he seemed to change that up a little bit. This is cut 7.
Because there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months.
What?
Because there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months.
Huh? Isn't that what you ran on? Was that there was a lot you could do that Trump wasn't doing and that you were going to do better, build back better, Biden better?
Yeah, November tweets that he had no plan, but you have a plan, or October tweets.
Now he's already
the plan.
He's already throwing his hands up. Guys, I'm going to go buy some ice cream. There's nothing we can do. I mean, we got to let this one go. It is what it is. It's really amazing. And the media just continues to cover for him. Listen to this question that was thrown out in today's press conference. This is Jen Psaki, the press secretary. Another hard-hitting question from the media.
I just one other question. The Trump administration, the Obama administration initially had wanted to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. The Trump administration dragged their feet on that. I wanted to see if the Biden administration has a sort of view of the timeline on whether or not she should be on the paper currency.
I was here when we announced that, and it was very exciting. It hasn't moved forward yet, which we would have been surprised to learn at the time. The Treasury Department is taking steps to resume efforts to put Harriet Tubman on the front of the new $20 notes. It's important that our notes, our money, if people don't know what a note is, reflect the history and diversity of our country.
She's kind of condescending.
Kind of condescending?
I'm trying to be nice. Trying to give her a shot in the beginning. Yeah, they'll work on Harriet Tubman. They got a ban fracking first, so we get a lot of people to get out of work before we get to that. Don't go anywhere, guys. We're talking Amazon and Jeff Bezos in the next segment. This is the Grace Curley Show.